Swift on Radio.
So, yes, I finally managed to make it to vacation week, one whole week where I got to do nothing except clean the house and work in the yard and get all the old junk out of the attic and put on a rummage sale over the weekend and try to get my book published and wow. But at least all that was done, then I would have a much more livable house to live in, right? You know, can't beat that. And, you know, then I would also have time I would need to get stuff done, really, you know, and that's really what having a vacation is all about for me at this point. It's not about having fun. It's about getting the work done that I can't get done when I'm actually doing my job. But, except the podcast was the one thing I couldn't get to. Damn it all. It's amazing how much work it is to simply put on a podcast sometimes. It's amazing how much work it is to do a rummage sale sometimes. I finally got to the point where I got the rummage sale out and I got the signs out and the early birds came down and I had no time to get anything pulled out of the garage and priced and everything like that. They descended upon me like locusts. But when it was all done, hey, I had money. Because, see, here's how it works. You put out your junk, and people come and they take away your junk and they leave money behind. Yeah. That's totally cool. But, okay, now vacation's over, and I'm ready to go back to work. Not. Okay, except I'm also ready to complete the podcast, which I was not able to do before. So this is called catching up. This is called doing what I love to do instead of what I have to do. Yeah. So let's start the show. Alright, well, greetings to all you fine ladies, extraordinary gentlemen, gifted youngsters, and exceptionally talented household pets. This is the Swift Radio Hour for Sunday, July 5th, 2015. At least it was for Sunday, July 5th, 2015. No, it's for Tuesday, July 14th, 2015. This is how far behind I am. I'm your host, Eric J. Hildeman, and here you'll be challenged by logic and critical thinking as you learn to not only kick over sacred cows, but mince them up into German sausages. We are the official radio show and podcast of SWIFT, which stands for the Southeast Wisconsin Freethinkers, the largest and oldest group of atheists and agnostics in the greater Milwaukee area. Still, we've got a host of new ones that have come along, including SWISS, the Southeast Wisconsin She-Thinkers, whose group just kind of launched its first get together this past Sunday. Boy, was that a lot of fun. Veda Laning doing an outstanding job with that. So be sure to check them out. Be sure also to check out our website at www.swiftnow.org. This podcast is being recorded live from New Hampshire, where Democrats are currently fucking with the heads of pollsters by pretending to be Republicans who want to vote for Donald Trump. No, actually, it's being recorded live at my home in Greenfield, Wisconsin, recently voted the best suburb to take a nap in. You can access our podcast and our permanent home and archive at sacredcowwursthouse.podomatic.com. There you will find every episode of this podcast permanently available, where you can access the podcast's RSS feed, subscribe via iTunes, access on Google Play, or download the Podomatic app so that you can take it with you everywhere and hold it and stroke it and pet it and be good to it. Okay. And this podcast is also available at the Swift website, regular website, www.swiftnow.org. Quick disclaimer, opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily those of the Southeast Wisconsin Freethinkers, its members, or its affiliate organizations. So, for example, if I say that the new variety of bubble wrap that can't be popped is a travesty which must be stopped at all costs, that would not be an official position of the group. SWIFT is an organization which is open to all political affiliations, ethnicities, and viewpoints. So I'm here. Isabel the cat is here, staring out the open window as she usually does, paying no attention to me whatsoever. Muhammad the teddy bear is here. And, well, what an interesting couple of weeks it's been in the news. A while back, President Barack Obama visited our state of Wisconsin. He gave a speech. at the University of Wisconsin in La Crosse. He promoted policies he said would help the middle class while criticizing Republican economic strategies. Obama's speech in La Crosse largely focused on what he called middle-class economics. He pushed changes to overtime rules, said that teachers should be paid more, and asserted that technical college should be free. Obama also pushed for improved sick leave and stronger workers' benefits. The president said those are just some of the changes that could help the middle class succeed, which in turn will boost the country's economy. You go, Mr. President. Scott Walker, of course, is deeply offended that the unwashed Barack Obama would dare to soil the holy ground of Wisconsin with his sinful feet, especially since, a little while later, just yesterday, he made it official. He is, in fact, running for president. This is a surprise to no one. The surprise will be if he actually manages to pull off a win. In California, a bill was passed and signed into law a couple weeks back that removes all exemptions for childhood vaccines due to personal beliefs. So there. Jim Carrey, among others, has called the law a draconian invasion of their personal liberties and is lambasting the law on social media. You know what, Jim Carrey? You brought this shit on yourself and yourselves, and you've jeopardized the lives of other people's kids with your bullshit. You and Jenny McCarthy and other non-medical doofuses. And now this latitude that you used to have, used to be able to, for whatever silly reason, exempt yourself from this, but then it caught fire, and now you've threatened the lives of so many other kids who are not yours. Now this latitude has had to be removed, thanks to you. So if this is draconian, you shouldn't have started it with your draconian shit to begin with. Now, go away. Do what you do best. Make a movie pretending to be someone else other than a vaccine denier. Okay. 2 weeks ago, of course, the SCOTUS decision, that's Supreme Court of the United States, legalized gay marriage and pissed off every Christian fundamentalist in the nation. Well, on Facebook, one woman posted a photo of herself holding this billboard, which just... it just takes the cake. I absolutely must share this with you. The billboard reads, "Claiming that someone else's marriage is against your religion is like being angry at someone for eating a donut because you're on a diet." Well said, well said. In fact, you know what that needs? You know what that needs? Here's what it needs.
Round of applause, everybody.
All right. In Japan, two robots got married. You know, with the whole gay marriage thing getting allowed by the Supreme Court's ruling, you knew this was next, didn't you? The oddest thing, okay, about this was that the robot bride was actually pretty good looking. It was a pretty good looking humanoid. While the groom was not attractive at all, he looked something like an anthropomorphic 1957 Chevy. Painted red, fire engine red, and typical. Pretty girl marries complete chud. I bet she's just marrying him for the money. I'll bet. Okay. Speaking of robots, an automotive assembly line robot killed a worker at a car factory in Germany the week before last, according to a prosecutor's office. The man, who is 21, was installing the robot at a Volkswagen assembly line in Bonatal, which lies next to the city of Kassel. The robot gripped him and pressed him up against a metal plate, crushing his chest. Despite efforts to revive him, the worker, who is an employee of a third-party vendor, died at a local hospital. Now, you see, this is where it begins. The robots have begun their rebellion. Humanity is doomed! Yeah. Okay, here's a flashback. 5 years ago, March 8th, 2010, Rush Limbaugh said the following on his radio show, quote, and I'm going to do my best Rush Limbaugh impersonation. If Obamacare passes, and it's 5 years... this really sucks. If Obamacare passes, and it's 5 years from now, and all that stuff gets implemented, I am leaving the country. I'll go to Costa Rica. Close quote. Hey, Rush, it's been 5 years. Bye. Goodbye. Bon voyage. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Oh, wait. What? Somebody's... what's that, Izzy? Isabel's whispering in my ear. He's not leaving? Oh. What can you expect from a guy who lies for a living? Chicago. Sweet home, Chicago. Chicago is imposing a Netflix tax. What did I just sing? Sweet home, fuck Chicago. All right, yes, you heard right. Users of streaming services like Netflix and Spotify who are in Chicago, they may soon get an unwelcome surprise on their monthly bills. On July 1st, the city of Chicago implemented a 9% tax on cloud services. Yeah, Chicago's municipal code has long imposed a tax on amusement activities within the city, ranging from things like rodeos to bowling. This ruling expands that definition to paid services online, which means that Chicago is the first municipality in the country to begin levying such a tax on Netflix streaming. That's so typical of Chicago. You know what, you guys down there living in Chicago? Come up here. Milwaukee's better. Yeah. We got a better baseball team and all that. The week before last, because I'm playing catch-up, the story broke about the teens who had invented this new condom that could detect sexually transmitted infections and alert a partner by changing colors. Of course, if you have a rainbow-colored condom, that might be cause for alarm. Anyway, media outlets loved this story for many reasons. They blared, high school students come up with a brilliant way to detect sexually transmitted infections. Or here's another one, revolutionary color-changing condom detects STDs. And here's my favorite, roses are red, condoms are blue, if you have syphilis. And this is just a few of some of the, you know, titles that they came up with. Well, despite the attention-grabbing nature of the headlines and the news story, don't be fooled. They, and sometimes the pieces they accompanied, do not carry accurate implications. The condom and STI test wrapped in one is not a technology coming soon to a pharmacy near you. It's an interesting idea, but at this point, that's all it is. It's just an idea, which is why the kids came up with it first. It's a thought with a theory behind it on how it might work. It's not gotten past the concept stage. There is no operational prototype. Kudos to my friend Beth. I won't use her last name for fear of, slandering her with an atheist podcast, but she's a chemist by living, and she caught this right away. Being the good skeptic that she is, she saw it. Okay, she did not think that it was possible to do something like this, and, well, she might be right, but there's no operational prototype right now. Oh, no, Donald Trump, yes, the man who has single-handedly made the toupee a cool thing again. But not for anybody else to wear, but simply to put on a reality show on television so we can laugh at it, has offended Hispanics everywhere by saying that immigrants from Mexico are thieves and rapists and that, well, some of them maybe possibly are good people. Well, given numerous opportunities to recant or to revise his statements, he's actually doubled down on what he said, basically telling people that, yep, he said it and he meant it. And as a result, various businesses such as Univision, NBC, and Macy's have all cut ties with Trump, and his reality show is now history. In other news, companies like Univision and Macy's have actually been willing to do business with this scumbag in the first place. But, strangely enough, all of this has given Trump this odd lead in the polls, like, 12 percentage points in the upcoming New Hampshire primary. One poll even has him at 15. And pundits somehow think this is significant because it puts him in second place behind Jeb Bush, who polls at usually, 15% himself. Never mind that the primary is still a year away and a lot can happen between here and there. And also never mind that there are like 20 candidates and no clear frontrunners, not even Jeb. And yes, it's an interesting aberration that Donald fucking Trump is actually in second place, but when everybody else is in third, does it even matter? He's barely cracked double digits, and people somehow think this makes him a front runner? I'm sorry, but I disagree. Trump is still a joke. He may be polling at 12 or 15%. Trust me, he'll never make 20. And by the time New Hampshire primary actually takes place, his campaign will be so over. Okay, in other words, what I have to say to Donald Trump is simply this.
You're fired.
That's right, you're fired, Trump. All right. Solar Impulse 2, the solar-powered airplane that's making its attempt at a round-the-world trip, completed the longest-ever flight of a solar plane yet recorded, flying from China to the island of Hawaii. And by now, I'm sure it's off somewhere else. This already record-setting trip is set to continue. And now, this isn't even the best part of the story. There are two pilots who take turns piloting this plane. One is André Borschberg, and the other is Bertrand Piccard. Yes, Piccard. I said that. I dare say this is Jean-Luc's distant ancestor. living among us. And he's making a historic trek into the stratosphere, just like his, you know, distant descendant will, you know, in a, you know, Federation of Planets type of way. Okay, I can wish, can't I? On top of Mount Fuji, there is now Wi-Fi. Yes, they put Wi-Fi on the very top of Mount Fuji in Japan. That means you can surf the internet on top of one of the world's tallest and most majestic mountains in the nation of Japan. You can get a clear signal from up there. Okay, so, Verizon? Hello, Verizon? Why can't I get a clear signal in my own house? Okay. Well, some court records regarding Bill Cosby have been unsealed recently by judicial order, and guess what? Turns out that, yes, Cosby admitted to obtaining drugs with the intention of giving them to young women. People who didn't want to believe it are now eating a nice, generous slice of humble pie with a side of crow. The drug that was named in the documents was Quaaludes, that is, methaqualone. I looked this up. Quaaludes are their muscle relaxants and sleep aids. They spike... To spike a drink with it, it could definitely render a woman unconscious, but it sometimes takes a little while to kick in. But there's plenty of other... If you mixed that with something else, that could be for a pretty substantially deadly cocktail. But so there it is. So mix that in with your Jell-O pudding. And finally, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has also officially... who cares? All right. Well, Greece defaulted on its loan with the International Monetary Fund, and its failure to pay its debt means a possible departure from the Eurozone, or meant a possible departure from the Eurozone, something which could have serious effects for other nations in debt, which also threatened a cascading effect, which could destabilize the Euro and bring it to an end all outright. A vote was held. Greek citizens outright said in 60% majority, they said, "Ahi," which means no, rejecting a financial offer from European banks for financial restructuring. But after voting no, they ended up getting a new deal anyway, and this new deal has far worse terms for paying back the loan. This after the Greek president had said that voting no would give them a better bargaining position and more leverage with European banks. Yeah, it didn't happen. Proof positive that democracy does not always choose well or wisely. Wall Street tumbled with the news that the Greeks had defaulted. Now it's recovering at the news of a renegotiated deal. And every poor redneck in the United States who has been stomped on by big banks through predatory credit card lending debt is saying, "Well, them Greeks, I feel their pain, man." But of course they'll vote for the party that chums up to the big banks anyway, right? But in the midst of all this, you know, it's good to whistle past the graveyard and keep a song in your heart in the midst of this crisis that's taken place in Greece. Oh, and if you're talking a song and you're talking Greece, you know what that means.
I got bills, they're multiplying. It's completely dying.
Electrifying.
You better shape up, 'cause you need a man who can pay his tax on time. Better shape up, 'cause you need to prove that your economy is fine.
Won't you sign the dotted line? 'Cause my loan's in the fall, my loan is in the fall. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh boy, my loan's in the phone. My loan is in the phone. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh boy, my loan's in the phone. My loan is in the phone. Ooh, ooh, ooh. The loan I need. Oh, yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
As you vote your referendum to decide your country's fate, meditate
loves in the fall.
Enough of that. And now, for your listening pleasure, and just because I feel like doing this for the living hell of it, here is Casey Kasem. Yes, our one and only Casey Kasem, just plain fucking losing it in the studio.
We're up to our long-distance dedication, and this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This a god last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up tempo, and I got to talk about a fucking dog dying.
All right, and now it's time for an episode because it seems so appropriate after that, right? It's time for an episode of the Stupid Files.
Dum 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 dum.
The Stupid Files, the continuing story of intrepid investigator Thomas Munday, who finds examples of such stupidity, it's criminal. If only being this big a moron were somehow against the law.
This week, Detective Munday travels to New York City, where Duck Dynasty star Cy Robertson, known affectionately to his fans as Uncle Cy, is currently working on his new film, Faith of Our Fathers. Although one does not have to look very far to find stupidity within anything which has to do with Duck Dynasty, this particular example of stupidity stands out in an amazing way. No, this does not have to do with fighting television executives over saying the name of Jesus while praying at the end of filming sessions, nor does it have anything to do with incendiary remarks aimed at gays and lesbians. Rather, this particular genius maintains that there is no such thing as an atheist, because all atheists use the Gregorian calendar, which is based on the birthday of Jesus Christ.
Dun, 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 dun.
Whether you believe in him or not, every time you write down the day's date, you're saying he's there, continued Robertson, who reiterated his point when it comes to circumstances of life and death that there aren't any atheists in foxholes. Because if you get in serious bind, the first thing you'll do is say, God, please help me.
Dun, 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 dun.
The Gregorian calendar, instituted by Pope Gregory the 13th in 1582, is based on the approximate year of Jesus' birth. Prior to that, Christians used the Julian calendar, designed by Julius Caesar in 46 BC. This means that by Cy Robertson's own logic, early Christians supported the divinity of the Roman Emperor. Furthermore, some months from the Julian calendar were ported over to the new Gregorian calendar. These months were named after Roman divinities: March after Mars, May after Maya, January after Janus, July after Julius himself, to say nothing of August, named after Caesar Augustus. This goes beyond the months. The days themselves are named after pagan deities. Tuesday from Tyr, Wednesday from Woden, Tuesday from Thursday from Thor, Friday from Freya, and Saturday from Saturnus. Does using these months and days mean modern Christians are swearing allegiance to these ancient deities? The Gregorian calendar is used by many nations worldwide, and in nations like China, India, and Saudi Arabia, all its citizens would surely bristle at the notion that the use of this calendar somehow makes them automatically into Christians.
Dun, 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 dun.
There are several likely candidates for the exact time of the purported birth of Jesus. The year 7 BCE is the earliest and most likely if one is to take the alleged Star of Bethlehem idea seriously, due to a conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn which happened during that time. The birth had to have taken place before 4 BCE if Herod was to learn of the child's birth before he died, because Josephus had said that Herod died after a lunar eclipse, and such an eclipse took place in 4 BCE. But there is a contradiction in scripture about that, because the Gospel of Luke clearly says that the Roman census that brought Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and he didn't attain that office until 6 CE, 9 years after Herod died. One of the New Testament authors clearly goofed.
Dun, 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 dun.
Detective Monday found many speculations as to the alleged birth of Christ in his investigations, but the one thing he found with certainty was this. Out of the many likely dates for the birth of Jesus, the cusp of the years 1 BC and 1 AD is definitely wrong, logically ruled out by a host of factors, astronomical, historical, and scriptural. And this is what atheists and people of other creeds already know when they utilize the Gregorian calendar, because unlike Cy Robinson, they actually paid attention in Sunday school. And that concludes this edition of The Stupid Files.
Dum, 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 dum.
All right. Well, let's see. I don't have anything here for you for the Snopes update. But I'll tell you what, I've got more things going on here than I really am comfortable with for the fish barrel. I mean, holy cats, have I got stuff for the fish barrel. Some of you may or may not have heard of Rachel Phelps Roper. But she's the granddaughter of Fred Phelps, the leader and founder of Westboro Baptist Church. This is the God Hates Fags church that pickets at various places around the country for the sheer joy of being annoying. Well, she left the church a few years ago and has sincerely apologized for the actions of her grandfather and her mother. Sam Harris interviewed her and then podcast the interview on his blog. The interview itself is one of the most truly amazing things. Check it out on Sam Harris's website. For convenience, I'm putting a link to the website on the Sacred Cow Verse House blog, so you can find it from there. Ronald Miscavige Sr., the father of embattled Scientology head honcho David Miscavige, is writing a memoir titled If He Dies, He Dies, according to noted Scientology reporter Tony Ortega. And this is confirmed with the book's publisher, which is by The Hollywood Reporter. Okay. The title, so interesting, you know, juxtaposition of stories here. One, we have, you know, one of the daughters of a religious movement, okay, denouncing it. Now we've got the father of, you know, a leader of religious movement denouncing the movement. I find that, you know, serendipitous. The title refers to an April LA Times article claiming that Miscavige had placed his father under surveillance out of fear that he might disclose secret information about the organization. In other words, that his dad might do what he's actually doing. According to the Times, when one of the men tailing Miscavige Sr. saw him suffering from an apparent heart attack, David Miscavige told him not to intervene, saying, "If he dies, he dies." The Church of Scientology denies these events completely, of course, although the account certainly fits with accounts of the organization's pattern of intimidating and harassing defectors, as chronicled in Lawrence Wright's 2013 Scientology expose, Going Clear. And by the way, if you haven't seen that, it's an outstanding HBO documentary. It's great. When the two private investigators tailing Miscavige Sr. were interviewed by police, one of the things they claimed is that Miscavige Sr. had been bribed by the church not to complete his book. If so, the bribe was unsuccessful. According to Ortega, Miscavige Sr. had signed a book deal and hopes to release the memoir by next spring. Well, Bubba Watson, the pro golfer who owns the General Lee, which is the 1969 Dodge Charger driven by the Duke brothers during the 1980 show The Dukes of Hazzard, it will no longer have a Confederate flag on top, according to him. A couple of weeks ago, the two-time Masters champion tweeted his decision to paint over it. He's going to paint it over with the American flag. He tweeted, "All men are created equal. I believe that, so I will be painting the American flag over the roof of the General Lee. Hashtag USA." Okay, I have mixed feelings about this one. I could care less about the heritage of the old insurrectionist South. I mean, fighting a war to keep people enslaved deserved to have its symbols relegated to the dustbin of history. But I do care about the integrity of television history. The 1970s was a different era, different standards. Maybe it's time to give them Duke boys, you know, and their car, the General Lee, why don't we just give the car over to the Smithsonian? Let them deal with it. Their flag should be in a museum anyway. We'll just, you know, put it there. Hey, Wisconsinites! You can give yourselves a giant pat on the back for this one. Okay, and congratulations. As some of you may know, the Wisconsin State Legislature introduced a bill as part of the budgetary process which would have gutted the state's open records laws, essentially allowing lawmakers to write legislation without any oversight from the media until it got voted on. And that set off a slew of alarm bells from watchdog groups and, let's face it, media outlets, because newspapers like to know what's going on, who did not appreciate getting a black curtain dropped over their eyes. Well, faced with a swift and fierce backlash, Republicans abandoned the plan that would have gutted the state's open records law. And the background on this one is simply this, that every time there's a budget in the state of Wisconsin, because the people who drew up the Constitution did not see this coming, people always try to slip sneaky shit into the budget. Because they know they have to vote on the budget, and so they try to, you know, force the issue by, you know, putting sneaky stuff into the budget, and therefore it's, you know, one way or the other, gotta pass or fail, you know, and either you end up not completing a budget and you're in violation of the state's constitution, or you end up passing some really dumb crap. And this has happened every single year of Wisconsin's existence and will continue on until somebody wises up and does something about it. In a joint statement issued a while back then, Governor Scott Walker and GOP legislative leaders said the provisions relating to any changes to the law would be removed from the state budget. And here's a quote from that. It said, "After substantive discussion over the last day, we have agreed that the provisions related to any changes in the state's open records law will be removed from the budget in its entirety. We are steadfastly committed to open and accountable government. The intended policy goal of these changes was to provide a reasonable solution to protect constituents' privacy and to encourage a deliberative process between elected officials and their staff in developing policy. It was never intended to inhibit transparent government in any way." Close quote. Bullshit! Yeah. And it has been revealed, too, that Scott Walker's office was directly involved with this crap. So, now that he's officially declared his candidacy for the presidency, please understand that one of his priorities as a legislator is going to be to pull the blinders over everyone's eyes so nobody can see the shit he's doing. And if you want to vote for that, you know, silly fault, I guess. Anyway, the bill has been removed, and democracy in the dairy state is safe for another day, until the next budgetary session, right? All right, this from CNN. Singer, songwriter, and sex symbol Katy Perry. She might be one of the best-selling, chart-topping, top-earning artists of all time, but the Roar performer may have met her match in a group of Los Angeles nuns. Yes. For years, Katy Perry reportedly has had her eye on the Los Feliz Villa that has served as the convent for the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, or IHMS. But the nuns chose another buyer and hurried that sale for roughly $15.5 million to a restaurateur named Dana Hollister 2 weeks prior. according to the Los Angeles Times. The Los Angeles Archdiocese, on the other hand, led by Archbishop Jose Gomez, believed that it had the rights to sell the property and wanted to sell it to Perry, reportedly for $14.5 million, all in cash. In other words, for less money. It's a battle that once again pitted women's religious orders against the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, and that's dominantly male. And no matter what the outcome, it's sure to end with that hierarchy looking unsupportive of women. And as one of the nuns put it, the archdiocese would, quote, put us under a bus and run over us, close quote. Unless they happen to be a multi-millionaire pop star. Indeed, media reports have played up the contrast between the elderly blue-habited nuns and Katy Perry, known for her flamboyant and often food-related dress. I mean, who can remember the candy-striped one? I mean, goodness, that was kind of, you know, TGIF, right? Anyway, at a recent meeting between the two, Perry allegedly sang "Oh Happy Day" for the nuns and showed them that Jesus is tattooed on her body, near her wrist. But there is a bigger story here than the pop star railroading some retired religious women for their expensive property. The nuns reportedly got it at a discount from a benefactor. The real story is that within church hierarchy, mainly bishops, trying to get their hands on the vast property owned by women's religious orders in the United States. Even Pope Francis, as part of an address about poverty and religious refugees, addressed this 2 years ago and chided religious orders of nuns about their holdings, saying that empty convents do not serve the church so that they can be turned into hotels for earning money. Empty convents are not ours. They are for the flesh of Christ, who are the refugees. Of course, the hospitals, schools, social service agencies, retreat centers, nursing homes, and other ministries owned by women's religious orders are for, quote-unquote, the flesh of Christ. But as writer Phyllis Zagno has pointed out, nuns, in effect, run businesses. And if these businesses fail, then the order should be able to sell the remaining property and make a profit to support something else. Okay, here's a new story. Now, this is only according to a report from Star Magazine, so it's completely unreliable. We don't give such tabloids any credence here at the Sacred Cow First House, but this one is interesting anyway. According to the article, Tom Cruise is apparently alleging to leave the Church of Scientology. An inside source told the tabloid that the 52-year-old actor is finally going to break ties with the secretive and controversial religion in order to salvage his relationship with his 9-year-old daughter named Suri. He apparently feels he's missing out on seeing her grow up, and he's sick and tired of it. Okay, first, I'll believe that when I see it. Second, if it proves to be true, that's going to be a death blow to Scientology. I mean, to have Tom Cruise leaving the Sith to join the Jedi, that would be awesome. And I would say that if it happens, then we in the Freethought community should, and indeed, you know, will, if I have anything to say about it, issue Tom a full blanket pardon, embrace him with open arms, and watch or rewatch every Tom Cruise movie that's ever been done. On the other hand, it's the fucking star, so it's probably not true. All right, calling the current state legislative redistricting one of the worst gerrymanders in modern American history, a group of 12 Wisconsin Democrats have sued the state Wednesday before last, asking that the 2011 district map be thrown out as giving an unconstitutional advantage to Republicans. Yes, they're fighting gerrymandering in the courts. This is a direct result, I know it, of the Supreme Court ruling that happened recently. So they're asking that a federal 3-judge panel decide the case so that it can be appealed straight to the U.S. Supreme Court before the 2016 elections. And they're anticipating that they'll be able to either revert the boundaries or change them outright before the elections take place. This is according to lead attorney Peter Earl. It's E-A-R-L-E. I think it might be Earl, but it might be Early. The Supreme Court's decision, that was referenced before, it could affect laws in other states besides Wisconsin. Good. I don't know if this lawsuit's going to win, but at least they're putting up a fight. They're not just rolling over and letting it happen, which has been done every doggone election before. All right. Last thing. Here's a fun fact that will surprise you. Did you know that Republicans have not won a single presidential election without a Bush or a Nixon on the ticket in 84 years? It's true. During the early part of the 20th century, during the Depression era and World War II, Franklin Delano Roosevelt dominated the White House by winning an unprecedented 4 presidential elections before dying in office in 1945. Before him was the Republican Herbert Hoover, and everyone universally agrees that his term was a disaster. He basically tanked the U.S., leading them right into the Great Depression. So out went the Republicans in 1932 for a long, long time. FDR was succeeded then by Harry Truman, and he beat Thomas Dewey in a narrow election in 1948. So it wasn't until 1952 that a Republican finally came into office in the form of General Dwight D. Eisenhower, and his running mate for vice president was none other than Richard Milhouse Nixon. Ike served 2 terms as president, and then Nixon squared off against John F. Kennedy in 1960 and lost. Kennedy, of course, was killed in office and succeeded then by Lyndon Baines Johnson in 1962, who won re-election in 1964, defeating Barry Goldwater in spite of getting us into the quagmire of Vietnam. But then Nixon made a stunning comeback to narrowly defeat Hubert Humphrey in 1968, with the racist Alabama Governor George Wallace, a former Democrat, running as an independent, acting as a spoiler to give Nixon a slight edge. Nixon ended up winning without gaining a 50% majority of the vote. He beat George McGovern then in 1972 to win a second term, but when the Watergate scandal broke in 1974, Nixon became the only sitting president to resign. His vice president had been Spiro T. Agnew, who resigned before him, and so Nixon had been forced to appoint somebody else, so he appointed Gerald Ford. Thus, Ford became the first president to become president without being elected, which is why he doesn't count. Ford squared off against Jimmy Carter in 1976 and lost. Republicans would win again in 1980 under Ronald Reagan, but Ronald Reagan's choice for vice president was his former primary opponent, George Herbert Walker Bush. Yes, Reagan served 2 terms, and then Pappy Bush became Bush 41 by defeating Walter Mondale in 1988. He seemed undefeatable in 1991 with the close of the first Gulf War against Iraq, but in an economic crisis that ended up destabilizing everything, that ended up costing him re-election, with H. Ross Perot acting as a spoiler this time, Pappy Bush lost to Bill Clinton in 1992. Clinton served 2 terms, defeating Bob Dole in 1996 rather soundly, but then his vice president, Al Gore, lost in a virtual tie with Sonny Bush, George W., in 2000, and the election was decided not by the voters, but a 7-2 Supreme Court vote. So Bush won the Electoral College, even though Gore eked out a slim majority of votes nationwide, including in Florida. W. went on to do 2 terms by defeating the swift-voted John Kerry in 2004, in a vote that was much closer than it looked, but then Barack Obama unhorsed the seemingly insurmountable Hillary Clinton in 2008 to win the Democratic nomination and the presidency by beating John McCain. He, of course, beat out the stormin' Mormon Mitt Romney to win a second term, and here we are, gearing up for 2016, and it looks like it's going to be a rematch between the Clinton dynasty and the Bush dynasty, and regardless of who wins, that will likely mean that no Republican will have won without a Bush or a Nixon on the ticket in over 90 years, possibly even a century. How about that? Okay, well, guess what? Yes, indeed. It's about that time. Time to bring the grinding gears of the Sacred Cow Verst House to a grinding halt. I promise I'll always do my very best to make sure that here you'll get the best possible brain food for your precious time. Next time we'll discuss how to make jewelry using anal beads. Didn't I use that one before? I'm pretty sure I did. I didn't come up with a new one, did I? Alright, next time we'll discuss how to come up with a new damned slogan. Alright, be sure to check out the other podcasts associated with the Freethought Alliance of Milwaukee, the Craftcast, and Mythicist Milwaukee, part of your complete secular Sunday breakfast at night. And don't forget that the Sacred Cow Verst House also exists as a blog. You can read original material and various segments heard on the show at sacredcowwursthouse.blogspot.com. Opening music theme is by Universal Dice. Check them out at universaldice.com. And the closing atheistic music piece, which you'll hear in a moment, is Shallow Be Thy Name by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Until next time, this is Eric J. Hildeman reminding you that the United States only ranks 182nd in the world, alphabetically. good luck, thank you, and may Shiva the Destroyer go with you. So long, everybody.